Well, I mentioned to them as I first come in, now tonight is going to be a real study course night. You might need something to write on or to make some notes on. I'll try and have some of these study notes available in a PDF format so that you can print them out if you want to. We're still teaching about healing is in the atonement. Now, this is why it's so important. See, everybody, or most people in this generation who are Christians, know that salvation, the new birth, is in the atonement. And because they know that, then they know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. It doesn't matter how bad you were. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter if you're fat or skinny or rich or poor or old or young. Everybody can be saved if they will hear and hearken to the gospel. Amen? But you know that because you know that salvation, that he paid the price. We've been taught that. We've been seeing faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And this generation were pretty well taught. They weren't always. In Martin Luther's day, they did not know that. They thought you got saved by your good works or by your penance or flogging yourself as you went up the cathedral steps on your knees, you know. And thank God that that Martin Luther started what we call the Reformation and the Protestant movement. And we know today that the just shall live by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But we have not been taught that healing is in that same atonement. And I'm talking about physical healing for the body. We've been taught all kinds of things. Most people, if you ask them, say the same thing that the leper said. He came to Jesus and said, I know you could heal me if you will. In other words, if you want to. He didn't doubt God's power to heal. He wasn't sure about God's willingness to heal. And I love Jesus' response. It's almost like ahead of time, you know. It's like, it says, immediately he touched out his hand and says, I will. What did Jesus say? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That is the will of God, see. So we're studying about healing being in the atonement because it really is. I'm going to wear you out with this. I'm going to wear you out because the Holy Ghost has made up his mind. We're going to quit losing them. I'm telling you, we're going to quit losing them. And I'm finding out healing is as much in the atonement as the new birth. But we've not been taught that. We don't have faith for that, the same way we do for salvation. So go ahead and open up to Isaiah 53. We may do this again on another night. I've got so much information here, I don't know how far we'll get. But we'll get a good start, okay? It's amazing to me. They call Isaiah the Prince of Prophets. My goodness, how clearly he saw the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. How clearly he saw it centuries before it happened. It's amazing, you know, Isaiah. So Isaiah 53, I think it would do us well to start this off. Let's just read the whole chapter, okay? The Word of God is good for you. It's time to take your vegetables now. I like milk, I like meat, and we need vegetables. And so, hallelujah, it's good for you. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Here it is. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sorry, give me a minute. There's a few things in this life that Gary really knows. Gary really knows he deserves hell. If I have to stand before the judge on my own merit, there's not a chance. There's not a chance for me. It's been 30 some odd years ago that I bowed the knee, received the Lord. And it's still almost more than I can bear. That He who was pure and innocent, never sinned, loved me enough to take the sin, the punishment that I so richly deserved, and take it upon Himself. And then, as though that's not enough, He turned around and gave me His righteousness. There is no other gospel. Everything else is religion. Religion always tells man what he must do for God. But only the gospel tells what God has done for me. There is no other path. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. I promised I wouldn't preach, but how can you read that verse and not declare? How can you? What did Peter say? We cannot tell but what we have seen and heard. And He saved me. And I want everybody to know, He saved me, He'll save you. Okay. I got to read verse 6 again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. My, my, how clearly the prophet saw, hundreds of years ahead of time. Now, hold your place right there. We're going to come back. Matthew, in chapter 8, go to Matthew 8, quotes from Isaiah chapter 3. But he gives us a Holy Spirit interpretation of the verse that is not obvious in the King James Version from Isaiah 53. It is in the Hebrew version. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I can read a dictionary. So Hebrew 8. Yeah, turn to Hebrew. No, Matthew 8. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto Him, and of course that's Jesus, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed how many? Can we meditate there for a minute? And healed all that were sick. What if there was a hundred of them? Can you see them coming in? And not just sick people, devil-possessed people. Paranoid. Schizophrenic. Could just be mental disease. Could be possessed. Wonder what that service was like. All kinds of manifestations, You ever seen devil-possessed people? They slither on the floor sometimes, spit at you. One lady I saw one time took her top off and run off, thinking it would embarrass the preacher away. He just ran after her and got her free. It's a guy that led me to the Lord, by the way. I was really glad he told us not to help him. He said we could go and we could watch and we could pray, but don't help me. Thank God. Well, trust me, I did not want to help him. But he healed them all. What if there was 1,000? And you notice, not one of them walked away sick. He look at it in your Bible. And healed all that were sick. But now in the next verse is where he quotes from Isaiah 53:4, what we just read. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Do you see that word, sicknesses? Now, he's quoting from Isaiah 53:4. Go back to Isaiah 53:4. And it says, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Doesn't say a word right there about sickness, does it? Now, what's really interesting about that, that first word there where it says, He hath carried our sorrows. Now, here comes your lesson. You ready? Let's see now. Carried our sorrows. No, surely He hath borne our grief. That's the first one. Surely has borne our griefs. If you want to look it up later, that's the Strong's number H2483. It's the Hebrew word C-H-O-L-I-Y, however you say that. Kali, maybe, Koli. And it literally means disease, grief, sickness. But now, it can mean grief. But let me just, I brought a list. This is every, if you can see this page, we may have this at the website if you think it would be helpful. Every scripture in the Bible that has that Hebrew word. Let me read you some of them. See if you think the proper interpretation is grief. Deuteronomy, now you don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to read. They're all like this. Deuteronomy 7:15, And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. And it's that word. Then the Lord will make the plagues wonderful. See, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses. Not grief. Sicknesses. You got it? Deuteronomy 28:61, Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law. 1 Kings 17:17, And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore. On and on and on this goes, either sickness or disease, nearly every time. Why in the world they chose to use the word grief here, I do not know. I think it's just more wonderful than they could stand. But you got to understand, Matthew's interpretation is an interpretation from the Holy Ghost. I like it best when the Bible interprets the Bible. And Matthew says, quoting this verse, he says, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay? Now, the second word there, sorrows. Now, it is often translated sorrows. It really is. It's Hebrew H4341. And it can be translated grief, pain, sorrow. But listen to this. In Job 33:19, He is chastened also with pain upon his bed. Pain. And it's that word. Jeremiah 51:8. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. Got it? On and on. There's pages of this, and it's sickness, disease, and pain. And if that's not enough, Matthew 8, what just happened? What just happened? Did he come in and psychologically help people with their grief and their sorrow? Was it a big psychoanalysis? A big counseling session? You know, you're all sorrowful and you're grieving. Let me come in, let me counsel you. Is that the kind of meeting that was going on? They brought the sick people. And they brought the demon-possessed people. And he healed them all. Whew. Healed them all. Well, surely there was one of them was probably a cusser. More than likely. One of them probably kicked the cat that day if they had cats. And one of them must have backtalked his wife or something that day. Yes, it slapped what? Slapped his dog, did something. But do you notice he healed them all? See, and I've seen this pattern everywhere. If you find it, you let me know. But I have not yet found anywhere where Jesus told anybody, go repent and then I'll heal you. Now, he does tell them to repent. But he heals them first. And then says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Of course, he wants us to repent. But see, healing, repentance is good. We need to repent, okay? But salvation is not based on repentance. Salvation is based on he bore your sin. It's the finished work of the cross. And healing is the same way. He bore your sickness and carried your pain. Of course he wants you to repent. Of course he wants you to live righteous and holy. But he does not make your healing conditional on that. He healed them all. What about those devil-possessed people right there? You reckon there was anything that might exclude them from holiness? What do you reckon? Other places, he cast those out with an unclean spirit without getting... We have children in the room. I imagine there was some unholiness going on. If you got an unclean spirit, and he cast those devils out anyway. Why? Because healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. It's based on what he did, not on what you do. Amen? All right. Let me give you some more here now. In Isaiah 53:4, where it says, surely he hath borne. That word hath borne, now that is H5375. You spell the word in Hebrew, N-A-S-A. And it means to lift, to carry away. Continuing in that verse, it surely he hath borne our griefs, now notice, and carried. That's the Hebrew word, and the number is H5445, Strong's, and it's sabal, S-A-B-A-L. It's almost identical in meaning. It means to bear and to carry away. You got that? The image is, y'all remember the scapegoat in the Old Testament? That scapegoat and the high priest, they'd bring that goat, and the high priest would lay his hand on that goat and then send it off out into the wilderness. And what did it represent? All of the Israel sin was on that goat, and it was going away, taking it off into the wilderness. Carried it away. Okay. Now, with those two, hath borne and carried, come on down to verse 11 of Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he, now notice, shall bear their iniquities. Shall bear. That is the same Greek word, sabal. H445. To carry away. If you look at verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Now notice, and he bare, this time what did he bear? And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's the other Hebrew word. Nasa, N-A-S-A, H5375, the same one used up there. He bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Excuse me. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, which now we know is sickness and pain. It's the same two words used in verses 11 and 12, Sabal and Nasa, N-A-S-A. Now, what's the point? In verse 4, he bore, carried away our sickness and our pain. In verses 11 and 12, he bore, carried away our sin. Using exactly the same words for bore away. Well, he either did both or he did neither. You can't believe one half of the chapter and not the other half of the chapter. He bore them both or he bore neither of them. It says he did the same thing with sickness and disease that he did with our sins. Or is this sinking in on you? Using exactly the same Hebrew words for sickness and disease that he uses for sin. And you know what happened? He took your sin upon himself and bore it away so that you could be the righteousness of God in Christ. Using exactly the same words, he took your sickness and carried your pain and bore them away so you'd always have access to his health. Now, this has not been preached. I mean, it's been preached. John G. Lake preached it. Smith Wigglesworth preached it, others, but it's never made it mainstream yet. It's not made it mainstream. Well, we're bringing it mainstream by word and by demonstration. You got that? So Jesus either did both or he did neither. He did the same with sickness and disease that he did with the sins. Now, I wrote this in all caps for my own benefit. It is illegal to say he bore our sin, but not our sicknesses. Not if you're going to say you believe the Word of God. As a preacher, I can't. I can't stand up here and say, yeah, he bore your sin, but he didn't bear your sickness. Not anymore, I can't. Not now. I know the truth now. See, the reason this is so important, you can be healed based on his finished work alone. And it's available to everybody. What this does for you, the same way that a person really hears the gospel and they know they can be saved, if you hear this gospel, this full gospel, you know you can be healed. Exactly the same way. And it's the Holy Spirit that manifests the truth anyway. It's not you. Amen? The Holy Spirit confirms the word with signs following. Well, this word has been very lightly taught. This word, and I'm talking about in the church as a whole, about being part of the atonement. Quiet in here. Yeah, but that's good. You're chewing, aren't you? You're chewing on this. Make sure I got everything. Now, I'll probably have this page where you can see these definitions maybe at the website. I may put this one, other one up here. I wish I had counted them, how many times that word coli, it's translated sickness and disease. Let's see, just on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Probably 21, because one of them says sorrows, and it's Isaiah 53. And isn't that something? But it was too much. It was hard for them to believe it, I think. I thank God for the King James Bible. But that stretched them, I think. Now, I'm getting something that... this is not in my notes, what I'm hearing right now. Go to 2 Corinthians. See, we're in the process right now of bringing our minds into the discipline of the mind of Christ. It's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See? I just turned 70. It does not matter what I have believed for 70 years. if I find that the Word tells me different. It doesn't matter if my daddy believed it and his daddy believed it. If it's not the Word of God, I'm going to change. Amen? And that's what this is. 2 Corinthians 10, he says, starting in verse 3, "For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." How would you do that? You got to cast down imaginations. Dave says, what's a stronghold? That is a thought system that is empowered by emotions. See, the time to learn this and the time to really get it active is when you're healthy. I have great compassion for everyone that we have people right now that are fighting for their very lives. We've already lost several last year. We're going to quit losing them. You hear me? But the time to get strong in this, and that's the reason I'm preaching it now, the time to get strong in this is when you're healthy and feeling good. So that you're strong in faith. If the enemy comes against you, your family, your relatives, your neighbor, you know what to do. Again, we're going from praying for the sick to healing the sick. He never sent them out to pray for the sick. He said, I want you to heal the sick. I like that. I like that. And that's what he expects us to do. And we are going to do it too. But see, to get there, you have to do this, casting down imaginations. Well, I've been sick and I prayed and what's that old deal that says I can either take the medicine and get better in 2 weeks or I can just tough it out and get better in 14 days. Some of you will get that in a minute. But sickness is supposed to run from us like a scalded dog. We have dominion. Remember how he started this? I didn't know we were going here when he was having me do all that teaching on authority. Now I see what the deal is. He's bringing us into this authority that he has given us in his name over sickness and disease. And we are going to have to. I don't care how many times you've been sick. I don't care. I got a little tickle in my throat tonight. What has that got to do with the Word of God? Got nothing to do with it. It's going to run it off. See, but we got to cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Alan gave a perfect one today, see. The doctors, and how many know, we're four doctors. Thank God for doctors. They keep you alive long enough to get some faith. Amen? Thank God for doctors. When I had polio as a little boy, thank God. I'd be in a wheelchair or an iron lung or dead. Thank God for doctors, you know. See, the doctors have given up on Alan. The high thing that they know is that after 3 months, whatever recovery you get after a stroke, that's as good as you're going to get. That's the high thing. That's the knowledge. And Alan's fight is to not let what they say to him build an image, an imagination on the inside of him, empowered by emotions, to where he believes. See, you remember how Isaiah started off? Who will believe our report? He's either got to believe the doctor's report or he's got to believe God's report. And it says, to whom the bare arm of the Lord is revealed. I love how that's worded, the arm. You know, my daddy was a carpenter by name and a carpenter by trade. And he started off back in the days when they didn't have skill saws and electric saws. And to saw a plank, if you had a tube of 12 and you needed two tube of sixes, they built a little platform thing and you got up on top of it and you took a saw and you did like, if you can see me on the video, how do I describe this? You're standing above the tube of 12, and you start at one end with the saw, and you zunga, 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 zunga from one end to the other to make two tube of sixes. My dad, and that nail, my daddy's, he didn't use no picture hanging hammer. He used a 20-ounce hammer with a serrated edge. You don't want to hit your thumb with that. Don't ask me how I know. I know you don't want to. His forearm from the elbow to the wrist. My daddy's forearms, now, younger man, not as he got older, it diminished some, but when he was in his 40s, his forearm was bigger around than most people's leg around the, below the knee. He looked like Popeye. Y'all remember Popeye? Popeye the Sailor Man? You know, But a big old strapping guy like that, even like my dad, sickness had put him right smack on his back. Why is it us men are more babies than the women? I don't know. Sickness attacks, and oh, can I have some soup? Baby. My coffee cup is right over there. Could you hand it to me? Sue. Doesn't matter how strong you are. See, I thank God for my dad. Good Baptist daddy all the days of his life, see. But sickness, disease, he had no idea. Even though he's a big guy in the natural, had lots of good character, he had been taught from a little boy that we didn't have any dominion over it. These doctors are telling Alan there's only so much they can do, and then that's the end of it. See, there's only so much they can do. And whatever you got after 3 months, that's all you're ever going to. He's already past that. At 3 months, he was still in a wheelchair. Now he's not in a wheelchair. And then he was using a walker. Now he's using a cane. Pretty soon, he ain't going to be using nothing. Amen? But whose report? Oh, I was going to talk about the bare arms. See, I remember my daddy. Now, boy, it's one thing to get a whooping when I was a little boy. Now, my daddy, he did understand the principle of applying the board of understanding to the seat of learning. You know? It's one thing for a switch. Sometimes my discipline, my need was bigger than a switch. I hated to see him unbuttoning his shirt sleeve. We had a paddle that he made me build. The way I remembered it was 9 feet long. Well, anyway, no. It was probably this long. And he had me drill holes in it, half-inch holes. That was my paddle. Had my name on it. My sister did worse stuff than me. I don't think she ever got the paddle. Anyway, that's another story. But I got the paddle. And boy, when I'd see him rolling up them arms, rolling up his sleeves and showing that bare arm. Do you know that's what God does with your sickness? Look at it. Go to Isaiah 53 again. Go back over there. That's what he's talking about. The arm of the Lord. Who hath believed? Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now that's when. Now, not discipline. I'm talking about his power to help you. God come. How'd you like it? You're sick. Maybe you got cancer. You've lost your hair. You're weigh 80 pounds. You're taking all chemo. And I'm telling you where we're going. I would like to have seen this with some that we've lost. Amen. We're going to see it. Because in the spirit, if we can come to the place where we believe his report, the imagery here comes God with his bare arm. And sickness begins to tremble. Daddy has showed up. And that bare arm is revealed to those who believe God's report. God's bare arm is coming to Alan. You watch. His bare arm to display his strength is coming because Alan believes his report. Amen? Amen? I'm preaching good? Am I preaching good? Okay, I got the okay over here. I'm doing that. Who hath believed our report? Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to finish with this for tonight. I'm just going to introduce this. Go to James. I think it's chapter 5. Yes. James chapter 5. We've taught on this a little bit. We're going to teach more on it. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Isn't that a crazy question to ask a church? Every church I grew up in my whole life, I mean, that's just the most foolish question I ever heard in my life. I never was in a church where there wasn't sick people, and usually quite a few sick people. Isn't that an odd thing to ask? Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, by the way, when we taught on this, see, this is the instruction if that disease is getting the better of you. You've used your faith. You've used your belief. You have stood. You've confessed the word. But you can tell you're not winning. There's help for you. There's help for you. Call for the elders of the church. You do it. Humble yourself. See, can you get this? See, I'm losing this thing. I'm not winning. Call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now notice, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. How 100% is that? Shall, you can't get a more affirmative word than shall. And the Lord shall raise him up. It's your prayer, but it's the Lord's work. Can you see that? And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's a verse, I didn't look it up, but you know in Corinthians when Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper? And he talks about not rightly discerning the Lord's body, and for this cause many are sick, many are weak and sickly among you, and some have slept early, some have slept, it means died early. Well, what's going on there? If you really read the whole chapter, he's talking about splits, divisions, heresies. They're all divided and gossiping and talking about each other. And he's saying, would you all call that sin? Yeah, it's sin. Okay? And you can get, that's one of those worst things that can come upon you, see? So, can you be healed? Well, yeah. You can be healed. And so you try and believe for your own healing, but you're still in that. See, hang on. Let me back up. Yes. Just the next verse. See, I'm sick. I don't understand. I can't get healed. I confessed. I believed. And I'm getting worse. I don't know what to do. I'm going to call for the elders of the church. And the elders of the church come. And they're talking with you. Now, we didn't read the next verse. Read verse 16 in James there. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you what? May be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Nathan was talking this morning. There is a different level of accountability for a spirit-born believer. If you're knowingly walking in strife and not willing to repent, you might have a little trouble getting healed. But this promise here is if you will humble yourself, confess your fault, call for the elders of the church, there is no sin. Notice it says, if he hath committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Say it with me. Even if I've sinned, if I'm willing to humble myself and confess my sin, even if I have to call for the elders of the church, the prayer of faith will heal me. The Lord will raise me up. And he'll even forgive all my sins. I can be healed every time. Isn't that good? Isn't that good stuff? Healing is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. He bore our sin. I'm going to read those two verses again, and we're going to start the confessions. In Isaiah 53:12, it says, he bare the sins of many. In the previous verse, it says, for he shall bear their iniquities. We know that he bore our sins. That's been preached forever. You have faith for that. You know that he bore your sins. The same words for bear and carry away, he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And with his stripes. Now, Isaiah says we are healed. Peter says we were healed. Well, if you are and you were, you is. You is healed. Amen? Amen? Say it with me. Healing is in the atonement. Salvation is in the atonement. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can be healed. I'll say it stronger. Everybody can be saved. And everybody can be healed. First time. Every time. No exceptions. Now, those of you at home, some of you may not even have a church home. Some of you are afflicted with disease in your body right now, and it's really serious. Listen, you don't have to wait. You just need to know, even what you heard tonight, will you believe His report? His report is that Jesus already bore your sickness, carried your pain. The same Jesus that saved you from sin, saved you from hell, is the same Jesus who is your healer. You can just stretch forth your hand as an act of faith right now. I'm in agreement with you. The Bible says if any two will touch, will agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them. We have a group of people here. We're all in agreement with you. Collectively, we're saying, disease, in the name of Jesus, go. Go. Leave that body. Leave now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that dunamis, that anointing, that flow of power from the Holy Spirit flowing right now in every home, every hospital, everywhere that you're seeing this. The healing virtue of God is flowing through your body right now. And with the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Now begin to act on it. Rejoice. Believe it. Begin to act on it. Do what you couldn't do before. You're going to see amazing results. We love you. Jesus is your healer.